Hi, I'm Jay. I'm an addict.
Hi, Jay.
I'm visiting from New York. I've been in London for 3 weeks. I'm leaving tomorrow morning. I can't wait to get home. I haven't been sleeping well here. And I figured out what it is. I miss my wife snoring. The little creature comforts of home. And it took me a long time to get to say things like that. You know, when I share about the miracles in recovery, it's one of them is I'm married 26 years. You know, I can't tell you what it was. You should be applauding my wife. You know, she has to be applauding. It's truly a gift. And I have two children that, you know, we're an empty nest, kind of. You know, they have done something I haven't done in my lifetime. Both my kids have graduated college. And, you know, and they have that degree. They have some responsibility now and stuff, and it's great. And, you know, I'm so grateful I get to come up here and share things like this. You know, it's the little things. I can share with you, for me, what a typical day for me in New York is. I'm at work at 5 a.m. I'm going to say that again. I have to be at work at 5 a.m. in New York, which means I get up at 3:33 every morning. I like 3:33 because it's a strange time to get up. And it just keeps things different. And it takes me about 45 minutes from the time I do my my proper things in the morning till I drive and walk into work with a cup of coffee. And I work for one of the biggest media companies in the world, and I can't get scotch tape and paper clips. You know, I always laugh how cheap they are. And I do my job, and I leave about 11:45 in the morning. So I'm home, usually most days, by 12:30. In the summertime, it's great because I like to play golf, because I like to torture myself. And I usually have the whole day. If it wasn't for owning a cat, I would have no reason to go home quickly, because I have to feed the freaking cat. That's my responsibility. That's my biggest responsibility in my day, is I have to go my wife's cat. You know. And then usually maybe a 25-30 minute nap, and then, you know, 5 o'clock my wife will come home, and by 6 o'clock I'm heading out to a meeting. And that, I like telling people that, because I have no excuse to be late for a meeting these days. And I can't tell you how important that is. You know, we always come up with excuses, a lollygag, coming late, this and that. It is so important for me to be in the meeting, not outside, in the meeting space, 15 minutes before the meeting starts, to let the newcomer know that, welcome, there's the literature, there's a cup of tea, coffee, whatever it is you want, you know, to tell them how, what the meeting format is, to get them some phone numbers. Because that was what was done for me, and that's the way I give it back. And for me to come into a meeting 5 minutes after it starts is baloney. I'm trying not to curse. It's baloney, is the bottom line. And I hope you find that attractive, my day. It's boring, and I live for the boring. You know, when the phone rings today, I'm not scared to answer it. You know, I don't have to worry about who's sneaking it. Well, actually, I walk through Times Square at 5 o'clock in the morning. I do look over my shoulder. There are people like us out there still. There's crack addicts, and they come after you. And I hope you find that attractive, and I hope that you can get some kind of peace of mind someday that I experience in here. That doesn't mean old days are great, you know, but staying clean is the most important thing. I've been coming to meetings since June of 1984. I've been clean all that time, 28 years, and I have no problem telling people how much clean time I have, because I like to remember. You know, they ask me, like, I think I have 28 years, the last time I looked. And I don't throw that in people's faces. You know, it used to be a time where I wouldn't share things like that. You know, and I found that that's a terrible thing to do in NA. You know, when a newcomer asks you how much clean time you have, tell them. Because that's the proof that this program works. We're here for the, you know, staying clean has to come first. You know, and I experience things now in New York and New Jersey, the meetings I go to where people don't tell, they will not tell you how much clean time you have. You know, they like give you, they just don't say it. And I'm like, I can't tell you how wrong that is at this point. You know, first of all, you don't know who's listening. You know, some newcomer may have walked through the door, somebody you used to use with, and you may only have 5 or 6 months clean. And if you share, I have 6 months clean, that person in the back room is like, I used to cop with that guy, I used to run with that guy. If he can do it, you don't know who's listening. So I think it's very important to stress, not stress it, but just say, I'm clean. It's the most important thing. And the most important clean that I have is today. That's why I know people who have lots of years clean, and I don't like them. There are a lot of times I really don't want anything to do with them. But I ask for help a lot, and I don't know who God's going to put down my path. It may be that person who I don't like, and there they are. So I learned a long time ago not to deny anybody, not to have reservations about people, not to have reservations about meetings, because there were some meetings in New York that I wouldn't go into because, oh, this is going on, that's going on. And right off the bat, I took myself out of the meeting. I don't want to go to that meeting anymore. There are some meetings in Manhattan, I can tell you, they're out of control. I've been to casinos that have more atmosphere of recovery than this one. It's really insane. It's really staggering. It is what it is. But not everybody's going to have the same perspective I do, and I have to not only appreciate that, but respect that. I have to have respect for the other people's recovery. Not everybody is going to agree with some of the things I'm about to share tonight, so sorry, offhand. If you don't understand my Brooklyn accent, sorry. First of all, thank you for making me feel so welcome in London. I've been to quite a few meetings, probably 9 or 10. I've been to places I never knew existed, Brixton, Islington. And the people I work with, they know nothing about recovery. They don't want to know about recovery because, like I said, I work for the media. Our dirty laundry is great. They love to gossip. They love to go after you. It's a media outlet, huh? And for me to have a different perspective on this is NA keeps me grounded. And when they ask me, what are you doing tonight? I say, I'm going to go visit some friends in Brixton, or I'm going to go visit some friends in Islington. They don't need to know anything else. I do have a lot of friends that are here that, they're working for the wacky events that are going on. And that's all I tell them. I don't need to go into details and stuff. And I just left. We just finished our job today. And I just left the wrap party. It was at some restaurant, lots of booze, so everybody, having a good time and everything. And I said, what? I love you guys. I got to go. I would much rather be here right now sharing with a newcomer that I found a way out. You can have that same way out. It's pretty simple. You can go to meetings. You don't pick up. You get a sponsor. You get phone numbers. And use the tools. Once you stop using all tools, that's your choice. Anything I needed to know about recovery, I heard in my first 90 days. And that's don't pick up, go to meetings, get a sponsor, get phone numbers, men with the men, women with the women. And when I got clean in 84, NA in New York was very small. I started in Brooklyn. We had maybe 11 to 12 meetings. And, I had to travel quite a bit. We had to go into Manhattan a lot to go to the meetings. And we were just talking about Bleecker Street before. And I walked into Bleak Street, look, I've always been like this, clean-cut nerd, idiot, whatever. I was never one for, going for different, whatever, alternative hair, whatever, it doesn't matter. That's just me. One time I did get a perm. When I was using. I was just like, what were you thinking? I looked at a picture, I was just like, who was that? Who was that? I walked into Bleecker Street and did what you're not supposed to do. I compared. I compared instead of identifying. I walked in and everybody had black boots. It was the middle of summer in Manhattan. Black boots, black jeans, black wife beater t-shirts. They had the mohawk spike pink hair, tattoos and tattoos on these big bulging biceps. And these were just the women. I was just like, what did I get myself into here? But when they shared, I pretty much closed my eyes and I the first few meetings I just closed my eyes and I said, man, I identify with that. I identify with the pain and some of the stuff that they're going through. And I said, that's what you need to do. You need to latch onto something. Don't look at the drug history. Don't compare drug stories, war stories, and this, that. You're wasting your time. Go for the people who have the gratitude in their lives. Go for the people who talk in recovery, talking steps, who have some tradition in their lives, people who are doing service. Quite honestly, I'm experiencing things now in recovery I never thought I'd be dealing with. They're not all good. Most of them have to do with Narcotics Anonymous service. I now live in one of the smallest areas in the New York region. We have 17 meetings. And we're finding it difficult to get people to be the secretary or the chair for the meeting. And that's staggering. You know, we used to fight for that position, you know, because we're egomaniacs. Ah, I'm chairing the meeting, and this, I'm going to get this speaker, that speaker, this, that, and nobody wants to step up to that. I've never experienced anything like that. And what I've learned in the past year is we have to ask hard questions. You know, we have to do an inventory as a group. We have to, you know, we can't just let this say, oh, it'll be okay. It's not going to be okay. It's not going to be okay, because what happens is, you know, somebody comes in with 90 days, and, you know, right away you throw, ah, you're the chairperson. That's where I got commitments, you know, in the beginning. They threw everything on you. And what happens if you have somebody with 90 days chairing a step meeting, you know, they're not getting NA step speakers. I mean, the meeting starts to lose some of its focus, and eventually the meeting, the group staggers, you know, it kind of breaks apart and stuff and that. That's why the most important thing I've learned in service is it all starts in the group. You know, you need strong home groups. You need strong groups. All the other stuff we do is phenomenal. Conventions, to me, the purpose of a convention is to attract people to come to these groups. You know, not just to go to conventions and throw whatever hundreds of dollars around at a convention and stuff. You know, I learned a long time, you know, probably about a year ago also, is I don't worry about NA and money. I've been through so much stuff with NA and money, and we survive. You know, there's that that's why I'm so glad I don't know what 75 quid is, so I don't have to worry about it. You guys can worry about it. You know, can you make the rent? If you can't make the rent, can you move? You know, you have to ask these questions. Don't just say, oh, we like the meeting place. And that. It might be, you don't know what the higher power has in store for you. I had to learn the lesson the hard way. I had to have somebody with, you know, traditional experience say to me, you know what, tradition too is, you know, God expressing himself in our group conscience. You know, maybe we're paying too much rent, we can't afford it, let's move. You know, you don't know what's out there if you don't try. You have to take some of those risks. I'm not saying close the meeting. I'm not saying, you know, fold up shop and move out and stuff. But these are the things I deal with today, and I would much rather be in the position I'm in right now than worrying about, oh my God, you know, I'm hungover, you know, I'm having drug dreams, all this stuff again. It's been great. You know, recovery's been great. And, when I first came around in Brooklyn, there were not a lot of step-oriented people. We worked step one and step 13. First we did very well. You know, all the other stuff, it took a long time to get. If you don't know what the 13th step is, ask your sponsor. If your sponsor doesn't know, get another sponsor. Actually, I can explain it in a very simple term. There's a bar right on right by where the St. Mark's Place meeting used to be called the 13th Step. It's a bar. And I was actually with my daughter. We went to eat in the area, and I said, oh, 13th Step. She's like, 13th Step, what's that? And I told her, it's where people have sex in the meeting places. And she was like, ew. I was like, yeah, you know what, you're right, ew. You know, we don't come here for that. You know, I'm not going to tell people to stop having sex. I'm not going to tell people you can't fall in love in here. You know, there are some relationship suggestions that we have. You know, I'm not going to throw that in anybody's face. But we can't use these rooms to feed on our sexual predators, behaviors, all that stuff. You need to check your stuff at the door. You know, you have to give everybody a fair chance who's coming through here. Newcomers, old-timers, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are. You know, we need to keep that stuff in check. And I usually don't confront people over this stuff, you know, unless it's pretty prevalent. And I also don't confront people alone. I've learned that in 12-step work. You know, I don't do 12-step work alone. I don't, you know, confront people alone. I want to make sure that there's somebody there with me just to make sure that I'm sending the clear message. I may not be right, but just that, you know, listen, you're in violation of something. You need to take a step back. Maybe you need to go to a different meeting or something, you know. But please keep coming to meetings. That's the bottom line. Just keep going to meetings. I have never in 28 years asked anybody to ever leave a meeting, anyone. You know, even if it's a closed meeting, I haven't asked family members to leave. You know, we've given them the suggestion, you know, look, we'll give you a meeting list, here's the open meetings, you can trust. I haven't thrown people out who would shoot and dope in the bathroom. They come out, you know, they'd miss, there'd be blood all over. I didn't even ask them to leave. Who am I going to ask to leave in these rooms? And nobody has ever, I'm sorry, I have to curse once. Nobody, no, I don't have to. Nobody, this is an amazing statement to make. Nobody has ever told me to shut the F up. And I do service in New York. Nobody has ever told me to shut the F up. I'm pretty proud of that. They have told me, you know, take the cotton out of your ears, put it in your mouth, learn to listen, learn. that's a nice way of saying shut the F up. You know, but nobody has ever been in my face and really come down hard on me and stuff. And I hear a lot of newcomers share how they're doing what they're told to do. And I was just like, I also have a problem with that. You know, to me, it's a suggestion. 90 meetings, 90 days, you know, you get the phone numbers, all this simple stuff. I'm married 26 years. You know, people come to me for marital advice. I said, what are you, crazy? I said, I would traveled for 12 years. I didn't see my wife for 12 years. You know, so we were only married 14. You know, we didn't see each other. I haven't seen my wife in 3 weeks. I think I called her maybe 5 times this whole trip. It's been great. You know, it's a great trip. You know, marital advice. You know, I don't do that. We don't do that in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, we don't give medical advice in meetings. You know, my experience is I had to go into a rehab. You know, I had to sit in an institution for 30 days because I had really good insurance back in 84. And I was in this institution, and, you know, it was my first real exposure to Narcotics Anonymous because I tried to go before I was institutionalized, and I couldn't concentrate in the meetings. I just wasn't ready for it. And when I got out, they told me to get involved, and I went to some of the meetings. Excuse me. I think I was about 6 months clean, and someone asked me to go speak in an institution. It was Metropolitan Hospital on 92nd Street and 1st Avenue in Manhattan. It's still there. My daughter actually lives very close to it, so I laugh when I pass it. It's the first time I ever spoke for NA in one of these places. And it's very different from where I was at, because the place I was at, the rehab, is like a country club. You know, I bought my basketball. You know, I stink at basketball. I bought that. You know, I was able to wear jeans. I can wear whatever I want. You know, we used to go out and do day trips and stuff. This institution, I walked in, everybody was in gowns, slippers, no teeth. And I was just like, oh, my God, what is this? And the guy goes, hey, welcome to NA. This is it. And when I sat in that meeting, and you know, I was listening to the guy saying, someday my goal is to get my teeth back. You know, I said, I can't tell you what a blessing that is. You know, that's why I like coming to NA. The party I just left, some of the people I work with, one guy makes more money in 1 year than I'll ever see in my lifetime. Actually, probably 5 or 6 of us in our lifetime combined. I can't identify with the guy, and he doesn't want anything to do with me. You know, I see him, we say hello, that's about it. I come here and people say, I got my teeth back, I'm grateful. I got my driver's license back. Oh, this is great. You know, that's why I like NA. It's real. You come in here, you'll hear some very real things. My first few years, I have no problem telling people how sick I am. My friend Paul, who I'll talk about in a minute, says, you know, just, Jay, you got to always tell people how sick you are and stuff. I go, that's easy. I can tell you all the sick stuff I did in recovery. You know, forget about using. I mean, that stuff is ancient history. I did it because I had to use. I was at the meeting the other night, Wednesday night, by Chinatown. And I was sharing because in Manhattan, we don't have a meeting in Chinatown. We were just talking about this. And we're like, why is that? I can't even remember there being a meeting in Chinatown. And we're like, why isn't there a meeting down there? And, you know, we talked about it. And we said, you know what, maybe we should have the public relations people look into it, maybe reach out to the community. This is an entire community that does not hear any message of NA. You know, some people never leave that community. Just like some people never leave my area. You know, whereas I travel 40, 50 minutes in my car to get to other meetings and stuff. Because I'll chase my recovery. Just like I chase my drugs, I'm chasing my recovery. Whatever it takes. And one of the things that got to me was I used to cop in Chinatown. I thought about it after the meeting. I mean, this is what more will be revealed. My connection was on Mercer Street and Canal Street. And I used to cop. I used to drive. In the middle of the day, the traffic is worse than here. And I used to cop, and that's what I did on a daily basis. And it was frustrating, but I had to use. I had to use. That's why I'm so grateful to come here, so I don't have to do that anymore. You know, I don't have the obsession. There isn't that nagging, gnawing thing in the back of my head saying, you got it, you got it, you got it. And that's the greatest thing about coming to NA, is that those obsessions are gone. And that's the greatest thing I can share with newcomers. I can't sit and tell you you're going to win the lotto tonight, you know, you're going to get laid tonight, you know, all this great stuff is going to happen to you. I don't know. Nobody knows. But, you know, you have to have that experience. I also find the thing I love about NA, and I don't promote relapse, is this is the only place on the planet where you can come to where if you relapse, we welcome you back. Mm-hmm. You know, that seat is yours. I'm a satisfied customer. I'm not giving the seat up, you know. You know, it also says in the Green and Gold book, if you survive that relapse, you know, how many people do we know just, I'm going to try it one more time, and they're gone. They're gone. You know, so it's not a pretty thing. We don't know. You don't know what's going to happen to you if you relapse. You don't know. You can be crossing the street, get hit by a cab. You don't know. You know, we don't know what's going to happen to us in life. But once you take a drug, once you put a chemical in your system, you just increase your negativity tenfold. You know, that's been my experience. Another thing with the literature is there's literature on that table in there. And I share this at all the H&I meetings I do, and I'll share it with you guys. It is useless on that table. It's for you guys. Take it. Carry it around with you. You know, that pamphlet number one, how it works, you know, it's the entire program on a sheet of paper. It's everything you need. And you can always carry that with you and read it on the subway, whatever it takes. I like some of the things I hear in service. You know, I like some of the people who do the service. You know, they just had the World Service Conference in California, and you know, we had the regional delegate gave us our report. And if there are newcomers who don't understand, please ask somebody else what I'm talking about. And they were talking about, you know, how people traveled 4 days just to go to an NA service conference in Russia. While people, you know, whereas I can't get people to go 30 minutes over the bridge to go to a meeting. And these people doing service, or how they spent 2 days on a train, or how the price of a book, I don't know how much is a book here, it's $13 in the States, I don't know what it is here. You know, the price of a book is the same in the Philippines, $13. $13 is a month's pay to some people in the Philippines. That's why when we put money in the basket, you know, it's not just for us, we try to do something to the world where it can be distributed properly. So what I heard at that last session was, think globally, act locally. And I can't tell you how important that is. Because look where I am. Where are we? Are we in a church? Where are we? I'm in some church basement. Where are we?
Homeless unit.
Whatever. Wherever we are. It doesn't matter. I'm in an NA meeting on a Friday night. You know, I'm sharing the message of recovery with you guys. And I couldn't be happier. You know, it's a global fellowship. I've been to meetings in bomb shelters in Israel. I've been to meetings on top of hash houses in Amsterdam. It's the greatest thing in the world to go to an NA meeting, walk out of there with a clear mind, feeling connected. And as soon as they read the literature, I'm connected. You know, that's why I like coming to meetings early, because there's a lot of people in my area, they come in late because they say, I don't need to hear the readings. Whoa. They come in 10 minutes late just so they can miss the readings. I was like, you don't know what you're missing. Someday that's going to save your tuchus. You're going to be saved because of that. You know, you need to be in the meeting space. When you start sharing things like that, that's great. You know, I avoid people who do that stuff. You know, your recovery, that's what you're doing, that's not for me. You do whatever you want, but I'm, you know, people who say this is easy, I'm like, you're just a ticking time bomb waiting to go off, man. I must be doing something wrong. You know, and getting back to the money and the seven traditions and stuff, I tell you, I don't worry about it because it's, again, it's God expressing himself in our group conscience. The area I live in is very small. 5 years ago, my recovery really took off because I was able to make more meetings. I was able to get more involved in doing service. My area decided to put on a convention. You know, they asked me to chair it, and I said yes. The bottom line is I don't trust anybody with money in NA. Sorry, treasurer. It's just because I think if there's money involved, two people should be counting it. This way there's no recourse. I didn't trust my area, you know, anybody in my area to be doing it alone. You know, I wanted to know what was going on. And when we closed that first convention, which was a one-day convention, I highly recommend doing things like this. We didn't do it in a hotel. We went to a college. They gave us the facility for a day. It was great. You know, we had, you know, six workshops going at a time. We had 750 people come to our first convention. 500 were at the main meeting, and people complained in my area. They wanted more. I said, you just had the biggest meeting our area ever saw, probably ever. What are you bitching about? And then we did it again a year later. We did it a year later, and we only had 500 people. It was a holiday weekend. We didn't raise as much money. And again, they bitched. And I said, you just had 500 people come to our area on a holiday weekend. And they heard a tremendous message of recovery. And we were just about to do another one because we have money in prudent reserve. We had a few thousand dollars. You know, for 17 groups to be able to say something like that. We had a few thousand dollars. You know, we were negotiating with the college. I was part of the negotiating committee. We had it. I was ready to sign the papers. We pulled the plug. We're not doing our convention. And you know why we're not doing our convention? Because we can't support it. We can't get people to support the service commitments. You know, four people is not a convention committee. You know, you need at least a dozen just to be able to, you know. And we tried different things. We said, well, let's not call it a convention. Let's have it like a fellowship day. We have the money. Let's use it. Let's give it back. You know, what do we can't be sitting on. We're supposed to be, you know, responsible. That's what the concept's about. And, we pulled the plug. You know, and it was actually painful to say things like that. You know, we had to take a look at it. But again, we had to ask hard questions. Can we do this? No, nobody was stepping up. Nobody wanted to help us. My home group meets on Monday nights at 6:30 in Nyack. It's a beautiful meeting. It overlooks the Hudson River, the Tappan Zee Bridge. We took over the meeting space for a women's meeting that folded. It was the women's unity meeting. They weren't making it. They weren't getting the support. My area is—it's probably 29 years old, maybe 30. No, it's not 30 yet. And there's always been an issue with women with the clean time in my area. Not an issue. They just—they're not there. You know, they get a few years and they move out. You know, they get married. They don't come around. They go someplace else. So another meeting just closed recently, and the women stepped up this time, and they're starting a women's meeting. And I can't tell you how proud I am to say that, you know, because we closed more meetings in my area than we've ever opened. You know, we're very good at that, especially step meetings. You know, people like going to meetings. They just like going to step meetings because, you know, steps, that means I have to change, right? I don't want to do that. Change is hard. I tell people how hard change is. My wife just redid our kitchen. Her kitchen. And for many years, you know, the silverware used to be in one drawer, and I keep going to that drawer, and it's not there anymore. I'm like, damn. And my son's going through the same thing. I hear him cross, damn, you know, it's the same thing. You know, the town I live in changed the night to pick up the trash and the recycling. So I'm like, all right. So I tried to adapt to them, and I couldn't remember what night to put the trash out. And then they changed it back again, you know, to a different night. So the trash was piling up by my house, and they changed. And I called my wife and said, I don't know when to put the trash out. You know, this is ridiculous. You know, change is hard. You know, the biggest change we are going through right now in New York is we've come across the CBDM, which is the consensus-based decision-making. We're trying to do away with the Roberts rules, with the motions, because we're getting motion sickness in the meetings, and we're trying a different format. My area is a guinea pig for this. We're going to be the first ones to try it. And it's not that I'm excited about it. We're desperate for it. We're desperate because we're failing. You know, we're failing as an area. You know, we're probably on par with what the other areas are going through. You know, we have 17 meetings. Maybe 5 GSRs come to the meeting. Brooklyn, well, let me pick on the Bronx. The Bronx is 135 meetings. They have 30 GSR showing up to their meetings, you know, their area meetings, and it's important. The most important thing that I get out of going to region is we have insurance policy that's paid through the region. You know, we contribute to that. Yeah. And to be trying something a little different for us, it's a big change. It's a major change. But I have asked for somebody to mentor me, which I'll clean a long time. I have no problem asking for help. I'm not asking you to sponsor me. I'm asking you to mentor me, which I highly recommend to people. You know, if you want to know what a GSR is, ask somebody. Don't just go in and be a GSR. Ask some questions. I have a woman in Florida they've been doing it for 5 years with phenomenal results. There's an area by me, the Passaic area, that started doing it about a year ago, and the results have been phenomenal. Not only has their attendance been better, but they fellowship together after the meeting. You know, they spend more time with each other. There's, you know, what the CBDM, the consensus-based decision-making does, it takes a lot of the adversity out of this stuff. You know, we come together as a group instead of individuals saying, well, I want to try that, I want to, you know, now we have to come to a group decision. And it's not an easy thing to be doing, but I think it's an important step for us to take. And if you're interested in it, I think that's one big regret I have about being here in London is I haven't spoken to enough people who do service, because I'm fascinated by this stuff. I'm fascinated by the car report that the world just put out, where most people are like, car. You know, I never heard anybody say, I got clean because of a car report. You know, I also have never heard anybody say, I got clean because of a dance. in Narcotics Anonymous. Hmm. You know, I've heard some people say I got 13 step at a dance. But, you know, I think it's important that we do put on functions so we can socialize a little bit, but we're not a social club. You know, we're a recovery group. You know, it's about staying clean. It's about, you know, applying the steps in your life. And just getting back to the seventh tradition, the most important thing to me is the money. It's we support Narcotics Anonymous. It's the addicts. It's the people in the rooms. You know, if you took all the money out of the picture, there would still be a Narcotics Anonymous. I guarantee you that. And we support it. You know, addicts run the meetings. Addicts sponsor the people. When that stops happening, when I come in and there's a doctor or a priest run the meeting, I'm out of here. I'm done. You know, so it's important for us to support. That's what the seventh tradition to me is. You know, we're self-supporting through our own contributions. And not everybody's going to do service the way I do service, and that's okay. You know, I don't go crazy with it. I don't get resentments. Your service may be stacking the chairs after a meeting. Your service may be cleaning the cigarette butts. Your service may be working in the kitchen at the meeting. You know, I love this stuff. It's much easier for me to sit here today and tell you the difference between a policy and a guideline than it is between the sixth and seventh step. Of course, I just focus on certain things. It's easy for me to absorb it. It's easy for me to read all these guidelines and concepts and stuff. And the most important thing is you know, is staying clean. I want to talk about my friend Paul for a second. He's my friend for life. When I first moved up to, first of all, I share with people, in my fourth step, I grew up as the only Jewish kid in my neighborhood. And I used to hang out with the Italian kids because they were cool. And my fourth step, was the first five or six pages, was all about racism. I couldn't stand the Irish kids in my neighborhood. Couldn't stand them. Because they would pick on you and fight you and beat you up. And there was always 10 of them and one of you. And all from the same damn family. And I was just like, what are you doing? Damn, what's going on over there? And it was amazing. It was amazing, this stuff. And I, you know, I could laugh about it today. That's why I like the levity in NA. Is most of my friends in NA are Irish. My friend Paul, he had 18 years clean one time, and he went out and used. And a lot of people in the area were hurt. They were angry. Instead, I was grateful that he made it back. I was like, I'm glad enough to go to his funeral. And then he went out again after 4 years. And he's a really conniving dolphin, this guy, when he's using. I mean, he was on the interferon for his liver and stuff. And I used to kid with him because I watched him go through all the bad stuff with it. You know, they said, can you do an assessment of your friend, you know, on the interferon? I said, I don't give him, you know, I did it for him because he's my friend. I don't give medical advice. And the first thing I put down, actually the only thing I put down is he throws ladders. What are you talking about? I said, he would get so angry that he would pick up 6-foot ladders and throw them at people and stuff. I was just like, that's what I remember. You know, and, when he went out the second time, and he just came back, he's got, I think, about 6 months. Again, it felt so awkward. You know, he's my friend. You know, this is probably my best friend. We golf together. We do a lot of things together. Our wives do a lot of things together, which is unbelievable. And I really was... lacking things to say to him. He says, well, I didn't lose anything. I didn't lose my job. I didn't lose my wife. I didn't lose my business. And the only thing that came to my mind was like, what about your dignity? I was like, that's not it. That's not it. But I was in a meeting and someone shared it. And that's why I still come to meetings today, because you don't know who's going to carry the message here. They shared it. It was beautiful. They said, your friend lost his conscious contact with his higher power. That was it. All the joy. All, you know, he was always a big smiling, you know, happy-go-lucky Irish prick, you know, who once he used, you know, I love driving with him, and he'd be like, so, you know, we'd be driving, he always says the worst, I used to shoot dope, and we'd be puking outside the car, and I'd be running down the side of the car, and I'm like, what are you doing? And I couldn't even tell my wife that he went out and used, because first of all, my wife's not one of us, she's not an addict, so it's none of her business, and she wouldn't get it, you know, I get it. We get it, you know. And when he came back, I shared that with him. I said, you know, somebody shared in a meeting that you lost your conscious contact, and we broke down together. You know, we were just hugging each other. And I said, to be able to share that experience with another addict is just that's why I come to these meetings. Those little spiritual awakenings that you go through and stuff. And you know, I didn't have many spiritual awakenings at these Olympics. You know, I don't care. This is my ninth one. whoopee. You know, I'm still the fastest man to the catering trailer at my job. You know, I get on my own Olympics. But what is it? What my job has done is it's taught me to be very organized. I mean, look, I just worked on one of the biggest events in the world. Billions of people watched. You know, I had to coordinate so many things. You know, so many mountains of paperwork. But that's helped me do things. It helped me do a convention in Narcotics Anonymous. I had to draw on my personal experience to do that. That's why I know there's a lot of project managers who are sitting out here. You know, maybe you can draw on some of your experience and bring it into Narcotics Anonymous to help us do stuff. And if I made some mistakes. I made a mistake and a billion people saw it. I don't care. You know, my job doesn't care. They laughed about it. If I come in here and make a mistake in Narcotics Anonymous, someone can die. It may not be me, but some newcomer may not get the proper message and they may die. And that's not fair. That's definitely not fair. We're in the business of saving people's lives. You know, it's the bottom line. And if you're new, if you're going through those urges, drug dreams, mood swings, resentments, anger, it's all normal. You know, welcome. Because we all went through that. We all go through that. It's probably, I don't know, when I get a drug dream today, you know, it's still like, wow. You know, I feel like I used. Then I'm able to wake up and, you know, get the butterflies out and say it's all right. And like I said, I have no problem telling how people are sick I am. I was 2 years into this, and I couldn't wait to, you know, I had reservations about drinking. Didn't happen. I was 5 years into this. My son was born, and again, I wanted to use. And someone with time said, stay away from newcomers. You know, hang out with people with time. I was 7 years into this. I cheated on my wife. I got a sexually transmitted disease. Talk about a seven-year itch. I was 10 years. She's still with me. I was 10 years into this, and I committed fraud on my job, and I got fired 10 years into this, into clean time. I wasn't in recovery. I got fired over it. Well, I had to go through these lessons. I was 15 years into this. I had back surgery, and when they gave me the Demerol, I was like, oh, hello, old friend. And I was just like, can you give me more? And they were like, we think you've had enough. what I remember about after the surgery is waking up. You know, when they gave me the Demerol, I was just like, wow, this is the greatest thing. But when I woke up in the post-surgery, I couldn't get my head off the pillow. You know, and I couldn't call for help. And I was dry like I am now and raspy. And I was just like, oh, yeah, this is why I don't use. You know, I was 20 years into this and... And some other things went down, and I can sit here and just rattle off things that were not the greatest in recovery. But you know what? You have to stay clean. You know, my father passed away in recovery. My mother just celebrated her 93rd birthday, and she doesn't know who I am. She has no idea who I am. You know, I have to call her mom. You know, I used to call her Hilda, which is the name. My sister says you can't do that. You have to remind her who you are. You know, these are the things I deal with today, but I'd much rather be dealing with today than worrying about copping. One last thing. I said I copped in Chinatown. My last thing I remember about using, because this is why it's so prevalent, the hopelessness, is my dealer had a few ounces of cocaine on the table. I mean, it was a lot, man. It was just a mound of cocaine. And I was at the end of my addiction days. I was sitting there, I was looking at it, and I wanted to cry. Because all I said was, it's not enough. All I could think of is, remember Scarface? When he sticks his head, this is what it was like. I just wanted to stick my face in it, come on. And it was like, it's not enough. That's when I knew I was done. I said, the chemicals are just going to kill me. So if you knew, no matter what happens, don't use. Thank you for letting me share.